You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When he came down with it, my initial thought was, did he really just do that?
If you guys feel I'm the face of the franchise, if you feel you want to make me a Jet for life, pay me and let's start this thing right.
If I knew what I knew now, I definitely probably would have opted out.
I just didn't feel he was the right coach for the organization, and I didn't feel he was the right coach for myself.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Man, Mac, if you haven't watched the game last week, it was a wild finish. So we got to talk about the D-Hop crazy catch and the wild victory that we got over the Bills. But we also going to chat with one of the best safeties in the game, my boy from DBU, Jamal Adams.
Listeners, viewers, you guys been following the show, you know the routine. First quarter, we usually get into chopping it up. But this week, we're going to do something very, very special because of the unique game that just took place this past Sunday between the Arizona Cardinals and the Buffalo Bills. We're going to jump right into Cardinals check-in. Like Pat just emphasized and gave you guys a sneak peek about what happened in that ball game, probably the most entertaining ball game so far this season. Clearly one of the best plays to happen so far this season. It might be the best play throughout the entire season. I know you heard of a Hail Mary, but what about Hail Murray? Why don't we rename the Hail Mary play Hail Murray because of the play that Kyler Murray made, the outstanding throw to DeAndre Hopkins, friend of the show, by the way. Shout out to Nuke. Outstanding touchdown reception. Probably one of the best passes and receptions you might see throughout the year. Pat, you were a part of that ball game from start to finish. What was going through your mind on that last drive, the sequences of plays that we saw as fans, as viewers, but you were involved on the sideline. What was going through your mind watching that last touchdown drive by your quarterback and your wide receiver?
It was fun to watch because, as you know, when those situations come up, you practice those scenarios all the time and you never know when it's going to show up. And it showed up yesterday, and we executed plays that we needed to do to get in position to throw that last Hail Mary. But the good thing, it was some time left on it because we would have had a shot for a second one. But what was going through my head was like, just throw it in the end zone. Give somebody a shot. You know, because obviously you had a defensive end coming free. I can't remember who it was, but he was coming free, had a good clean hit on Kyler. But Kyler being elusive, being the mighty mouse that he is, you know, broke away to his left, beat another tackle and just heaved it, you know, about 55 yards and gave his guy an opportunity to make a play. And when he came down with it, my initial thought was, did he really just do that? You know what I mean? Because I was at the end of the, I was on our 20-yard line, like going into our locker room. So I'm just down there just watching.
Were you watching the jumbo, Tron, or are you actually watching the field?
I was watching the field.
Yeah.
I was like, just throw it up, give him a shot. And I'd be doggone. He gave him a shot and he came down with that, like you said, probably going to be one of the biggest catches of this 2020, season. So, you know, we got to make the best of it. You know, when you win games like that, you have to make sure that you relish those moments and make sure that you make the best of that opportunity, because we could have lost that game. We could have been easily sitting at 4-5-4 versus 6-3 with a 3-way tie lead in the division. So we know it's going to come down to the wire. That was a game that we definitely needed, and we got a big one coming up here Thursday against Seattle.
Yeah, did you have any doubt in your mind based on the time that was left on the clock when your offense received the ball and knowing they need to score a touchdown, not a field goal? Did you have any doubt in your mind could happen?
Not at all.
Drive?
Yeah, not at all, because like I said, we go over that situation all the time. Hell, we had that same situation down 4 on Thursday, and we had that same situation down 4 on Saturday before we went to the game. So,
you mean the week of preparation?
The week of preparation. So,
yeah.
Coach Rogers, our special team coach, is, you know, kind of like the time management person. So, you know, him and Cliff did a great job of knowing the time that they had to work with to get in position to be able to give ourselves an opportunity to throw that Hail Mary. And it worked out perfect. And like I said, we work on those situations all the time. And you just have to be ready because you never know when it's going to show up. And it showed up and we executed to our full potential.
That's why situational for us in Pittsburgh, we used to have situational Friday where we, you know, go over plays like this. It might not show up, but you need to be ready just in case it shows up.
Like your coaches always say, especially as a defensive coordinator, man, you can play 59 minutes and 59 seconds of good football. But if you don't defend that 1 second, what the heck those 59 minutes, 59 seconds was for?
Every second, every minute matters in the game of football. It's the ultimate team sport. And, you know, me, I had opportunity of breaking that play down on CBS Sports HQ Sunday night after the ball game. And one thing that I saw Buffalo did wrong was they allowed D-Hop to have a free release off the line of scrimmage. You know, usually when we used to practice to defend a Hail Mary, we would have a disruptor in front of him at the line of scrimmage, being able to disrupt him, not giving him a free release to get down the football field in time to potentially be in position to make that reception. And then secondly, if you're not going to give him a free release, just send the house. Don't give the quarterback enough time to be able to throw it 40 plus yards down the football field. They didn't send the house. They didn't have a presser, a bump and run guy in front of D-Hop. And because of that, we saw arguably the best play so far this season. And also too, Pat, one thing that people don't realize, D-Hop was on the single receiver side. They was trips away. You don't usually throw the football to the single receiver guy side because usually he's outnumbered when it comes to defenders in the secondary. And I also talked about it. You hit on this too, a few moments ago, how important this ball game was, because what we saw in your division, the Rams took care of their business against Seattle, right? So the top three teams, and I believe right now going forward in the NFC West, Pat, is going to be a three team race. You know, right, because of the injuries and adversity the 49ers are facing, I don't want to count them out, but I'm kind of counting them out, right? It's going to be a three-team race. You guys won. Seattle lost. The Rams won. All three teams, top three teams, have three losses. That was a huge win. How could that win this past Sunday change the trajectory of the ball club going forward?
You know, winning those type of ball games just give you so much more confidence. You believe a little bit more, you know, because you had opportunity to go through those situations, win those close ball games. And honestly, winning close ball games, I believe helped the team chemistry, because when you win close ball games, everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody have to know what they're doing. Everybody have to make sure they're honed in on their assignment. So when you win games like that, I believe it brings the team closer. You know, it gives you that belief that you can win any game. You know, we was down 10 with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Kyler ended up scoring. They came right back. I got the interceptions to put us up 3. And then it came down to the last 5 minutes of the game. Buffalo went down and scored. And then, you know, the rest is history, what our offense was able to do. But when you win those type of games, man, it's hard to explain, but it definitely does something special to your team.
No question. I tell people all the time, you know, I was fortunate enough to play on three Super Bowl teams, three teams that made it to the championship. And we all three of those teams, Pat, had that one defining moment throughout the season where we came together. It could have been some adversity on the football field, injuries, but we came together and we were battle tested and we found a way to win a ball game. And we just used that as a momentum booster throughout the season. And this could be that one defining moment for the Arizona Cardinals. When you look at the entire season, the standings, and how well you guys are playing and how you had to fight through adversity, this could be something to circle and monitor throughout the course of the season. And in that entertaining ball game, you had notable moments. And specifically for you, Pat, you had me jumping through the roof because I'd never seen you let go 2 interceptions. When it comes to ball skills, I tell people this all the time. And our family, Pat, got the best ball skills in our family, hands down. I mean, I'm not even going to put my name in that conversation. I don't want to put Walt's name in that conversation. Pat P got the best hands in our family. And you can make that argument for Pat P in the secondary, has the best hands in the secondary. But my guy, talk us through those missed opportunities. What happened?
Man, the first one I was kind of indecisive on how I wanted to catch the ball because I knew it was traffic there. And I had It was like a DB on my left and a receiver and another DB on my right. I believe it was Beasley, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember who the receiver was, but I was in a quarter zone and my guy went under. So now I'm
Can you explain to the listeners and viewers quarter zone? We got to break it down here. We got to educate.
So they gave us a 3x1 set. Stephon Diggs was on the X cut. So like I said, we was in the quarter. So one corner has a quarter of the field. The strong safety have a quarter of the field. The other strong safety have a quarter of the field. And the other corner has that quarter of the field, which makes a hole. So with the X split, we would typically like cut that. Because mm-hmm. we don't want to have to run through traffic. So we cut that. Buddha took the X.
And explain cut. Yeah. That's so where the safety take the shallow cross, correct?
Exactly. The safety take the shallow cross so the DB don't have to run through traffic to try to get to him. And as he's trying to maneuver through traffic, the guy, Stephon, can catch the ball and easily have a free release and to get the first down or whatever the case may be. But Buddha cut my guy. So now, since Buddha cut my guy, I'm replacing him now. So now I'm the quarter safety. So now I got visions because I don't have no work. So now I'm looking at Josh. So now I'm back in my quarters, backpedaling. I took a glance to my right because I saw him looking like scanning the field, trying to see who's coming back across the field. And once he saw his guy coming across, I kind of settled down, planted, started breaking back towards the ball. And I went for the ball like this because you got to catch the ball with your hands. I think honestly, because Beasley went for the ball as well. So he kind of tipped it and I kind of couldn't grasp that one the right way.
Yeah.
But I should have went in there and body caught the ball because all of the traffic that was in between me. But the second one, my goodness. I mean, we was in the perfect call. We was almost in the same, they kind of gave us the same play. Yep.
You had free eyes.
We was in Rover. So it's technically the same thing, but it's man to man. But the safety comes down and take.
You let your man go.
Let my man go.
I saw it.
He take him. So now I'm the new Rover player.
Yep. Josh did not expect for you to let the receiver go. I think it was Diggs you let go in a shallow cross.
Exactly. So now I'm the new Rover player. And I think it was Beasley again, if I'm not
coming a deep over.
Yeah, I'm a deep over, and every single time they give us that X split, they're trying to clear it out for that backside dig. So Vance dialed up a perfect call. I just didn't execute.
And that one, the second one, you tried to catch with your body.
I did try to catch my body, but it hit my hands because it was so low. That's why I had to slide down and try to get it. But the mistake I made was I did not look the ball in.
Yeah.
I tried to catch it with my hands without catching it with my eyes. That's why my hands are so dang gone good because I catch with my eyes, not with my hands.
Man, listen, Ryan Clark, man, my old teammate, you know, my good homeboy, he texts me, he said, man, I never seen Pat drop footballs. He's like, bro, this man dropped two footballs today.
I dropped two Wilsons yesterday.
Two Wilsons. You dropped two footballs, man. When you talk about a guy with ball skills, you don't say he dropped two picks. No, this man dropped two footballs, man. You dropped two footballs, but you were able to get that book. You know what I mean? You eventually got that book. Talk about the interception that you were able to bring in for the ball club. What were you guys in defensively?
Man, we was in the same coverage, man. We was playing
in that fourth and in that quarters.
In quarters, we played quarters all night. And with Josh, the same thing. But Stephon did not give me X shallow this time. He gave me a dig. Mm-hmm. So with the X being backside, he's technically double because I got a quarter safety, like I said, I'm a quarter corner, and the quarter safety responsibility is number three and number two, but we didn't have a number two.
Yeah.
It was 3x1 again. They kept giving us 3x1 or speed trips the whole game. So we was in quarters again. I told Buddha we didn't have no cut or anything like that because he wasn't as tight as he was before. So I knew he wasn't going under this time. But with me knowing that I had inside help, presence by Buddha, I told Buddha right before the play, I said, Buddha, you stay right there because he's going to run the dig. If you run the dig, he's going to come to you. And in quarters, my responsibility is the 8 and the 9.
Yep.
So once he
eight
ran
and the dig, nine, what is the 8 and the 9?
Go ball. The 9 is a go ball. 8 is a post.
Post.
So
yes, sir.
Once Stephon ran his dig, I peeled off because now he's running to Buddha. So now I'm free again.
Again. Yep.
Looking back at the quarterback, he was trying to fit it in tight to the tight end number 81, and I had great vision, was able to make a play on that ball, and finally Wilson made his way to me.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Pat? When you get a pick this week, because I'm going to throw it out there to the universe, I need you to get into the end zone. I need – when you get the book, get into – just go. Because yes. Look like when you caught the pick this past Sunday, you were looking like, yes. Where should I run? Man, just getting that LSUP too, and just ride.
Just ride.
Just ride. No question. Just ride. Because when you caught it, I'm like, first of all, one thing about playing in the secondary, interceptions are contagious. They come in bunches. Yep. They come in bunches. And when you got your hands on two early passes, I was like, it's a matter of time.
Yep.
Because usually for us guys, listeners, this is one thing about playing in the secondary. It's almost like playing any sport, like playing basketball or playing baseball. When you do something positive early in the ball game, you know you're gonna have a good game. It's almost like a batter playing baseball in the first inning, hit a home run. There's a good chance you're going to have a heck of a ball game. Same thing with basketball. You get in the first quarter, you drop by three or four threes. When we play in the secondary, if you get your hands on a pass in the first quarter, the confidence is going through the roof now. It's like, it's only a matter of time. They're going to keep trying me, and I'm going to get my hands on one. I'm going to come through with a big time play. So I knew it was going to be a matter of time. And I said, just hold on to it. Just hold on to it. And you definitely held on to it. And when you're talking about playing, you know, good on good, Pat, there's highs and there's lows. Take us through two plays, the Cole Beasley play and then the Stephon Diggs play and the mentality of a corner, something that a lot of people don't understand and realize how difficult it is playing at a high level week in and week out when you're playing good on good. And sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you, like Coach LeBeau used to tell us all the time. But take us through those two plays.
First one, we was in the man-to-man coverage. I had inside help as well. So I was playing for the pick wheel because 2 and 3 – was initially close together. Mm-hmm. So 9 times out of 10, and 2 was on the ball and Beasley was off the ball. So 9 times out of 10, you have to think that they're trying to pick you. And I was impressed. So if you go back and look at it, I try to beat him to the punch as far as beating him to the outside. So I can slip pick and be able to get through and make it harder, being a better position to defend that pick wheel. The reason why I did that, because I knew I had Jordan on the inside of me. So I knew if he go inside, he's going to run right to Jordan.
You got help.
Exactly. So we was in one hole. So with me thinking of one hole, all right, boom, my linebacker's right here. I can play outside, heavy outside, because if he do run inside, I know my Mike backer's going to be there. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't there. You know, I couldn't tell you where his eyes was or whatever, but Jordan wasn't there for me. But they, you know, he made a play. He made a play for me. And, you know, at the end of the day, we got a lot of football to play. So I can't dwell on that play. I have to find a way to make a play back. And
you know what? And you talk about that. You got the interception after that play happened.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what I like about great players. You know what I mean? Playing in the secondary is extremely difficult. Playing in the secondary, the only other positions you can compare to playing corner is left tackle and quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And you got to have a short-term memory. And that's one thing I like. Yeah. That play happened. And then few plays later, you come back and get the book we talked about earlier in the show. So that's the mindset of a great player and understanding adversity and being able to fight through that adversity.
Yep. And, so with the second one, we was in the man-to-man. I was kind of out leveraged. You know, I believe, you know, we could have been in a better call. You know, I felt that, you know, cause at the end of the day, me and Murph, we was playing a combo coverage because they gave us the same, kind of that same split that they gave me and the first time when Beasley caught that touchdown. So this time, me and Murph comboed it. So
What is combo?
So what combo is, if my guy goes outside, he'll take him, and his guy, we'll basically switch responsibilities.
Yep.
So, but they didn't do that. So now when you play a combo coverage, you have to be inside because you have to potentially
anticipate his guy coming to you.
Exactly. So now I'm inside, and all he did was run a 7 on me. And we're playing one wide. So I have to protect my inside because I can't let him get inside. And just when he run outside, I just have to try my best to beat him to his punch. And I just slipped the 7 just a little bit too late because I kind of dissected that he was going to run a 7 because he gave me that straight stem.
Mm-hmm.
As I noticed he gave me that straight stem, I started easily just start stacking behind him. But the thing about Stephon is that he does in the red zone, he likes to do double moves. So I didn't want to beat him to his punch right now.
And he hit you with a double.
Exactly. So he could hit me with a 7 pump. So that's what I didn't want to happen. So therefore, I knew I didn't have much field to work with, and the quarterback had to put the ball in a perfect position, because if he would have put any more air on it, I would have been able to make a play. He threw
it. Yeah, it was a great pass by Josh.
He threw it right out of his break, and he threw it nice and low to where his receiver Diggs was able to dive and make a catch. But Like you said, you know, sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear get you. The thing I love about my job, I signed up for this and I love that pressure each and every week. That's why I play the game, you know. So yeah, he caught a touchdown on me. Yeah, Beasley caught a touchdown on me. But guess what? I got another game this week to prove my worth. And I know what I mean to this team. I know what I mean to the game. I know how much I care about my performances. So definitely look for a big performance coming on up Thursday.
No question. And that's the one thing that we like to emphasize here on All Things Covered to the listeners and the viewers. Football is not just about the physical nature. It's a cerebral game. You got to think. You got to communicate. And right. If one person is not on the same page, it messes up the flow of the entire scheme and how it's supposed to work. Exactly. Football is the ultimate team sport. Yep. You know what I mean? Just because you got the best player on your team doesn't mean you will always win. Everybody got to be on the same page. And that's one thing I love about the game of football and the togetherness that you got to display. Like that play with Stephon Diggs, you and Byron Murphy had a combo call and you guys were anticipating something. They didn't run what you thought they were going to run and just about being able to adjust. But when you're playing good on good, sometimes it's just a well-executed play.
Oh yeah.
Well-executed play.
Yep.
And I can tell you this much, no question. When you look at winning that ball game, you guys were able to win the ball game and you talk about bouncing back and getting right back into the limelight. Huh, you got another opportunity, big fella. You got another opportunity because this Thursday night, you got a short week, quick turnaround as we get prepared for this upcoming ball game, the Seahawks, looking ahead to Thursday night. And also, listeners and viewers, make sure you stay tuned because we're talking about the Seattle Seahawks, Arizona Cardinals this upcoming Thursday. We got a special guest joining us later in the show. Jamal Adams, starting safety for the Seattle Seahawks, will be joining us a little later in the show. So make sure you stay tuned. But when you talk about playing Thursday night football, Pat, a lot of players don't like Thursday night football. You know, it's a quick turnaround. Sometimes your body there is not together yet. But how does it change your routine based on what you do normally for a Sunday kickoff compared to a Thursday kickoff?
Typically on a normal week, you have, you know, Monday through Saturday to get your body prepared. But on a short week with us, we're traveling. So we have to leave Wednesday. So now you have to pretty much do double time of what you normally do throughout your week. So like today, you know, don't have opportunity to kind of clean up the tape with your team or with your coaches. But as a pro, you have to go back and watch your tape, see what you did wrong to see how the next team is going to try to attack you. So like today, all I did was got my body work, got a workout in, did my film study. And as soon as I'm done with the show here in a minute, I'm starting to go to break down, DK Metcalf. So, you know, so it's going to be a long nights because, you know, like I said, you don't have the time that you normally have to get your body prepared or the film study and things like that. But the thing I love about it is, although it is a short week, but you also get opportunity to rest in the hotel that evening versus playing, you know, 1 o'clock or, you know.
Yeah, you play later.
East Coast, it'll be, you know, 11. You get opportunity to rest in a little bit and try to get your body prepared as best as you can. And also you have to look at it at this way. If you're able to get through that game healthy, it's almost like a second bye week. You get two bye weeks.
Yeah, you got a long weekend. You got a long weekend to, you know, recharge your body mentally and physically. And the good thing about this particular matchup for you guys, Pat, you're playing against a team you're familiar with. And the same can be said for them, you know, being familiar with you guys. So yes, you got a lot of tape you're going to have to watch, but you kind of know what their go-to is the same way they know what your go-to is. And personally, you know, you got another opportunity to play against a top flight pass catcher in DK Metcalf. Last most recent meetings, you played well against him and DK didn't have a good outing against your homeboy, Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey had a pretty good outing against DK. DK had four targets for only two receptions, 28 yards. DK's career, listeners and viewers, versus Patrick Peterson. This is his career. Well, almost, I'll say a year and a half into his career, 71 plays, five targets, one reception, 6 yards. That is his career against Patrick Peterson. I repeat, 71 plays, five targets, one reception, 6 yards. How do you continue your success against DK? And what do you expect them to do differently compared to your other matchups against him?
Honestly, I expect them to get him in the game early, you know, especially coming out off the game that he had last week. So I have to anticipate that the ball's coming to him early. His go-tos, you know, slants, go balls, know, just try to get him in the game early. Cause like you said, when a guy gets into the game early, he feels like he's involved. Now his enthusiasm level goes through the roof.
Yep.
You know, so I have to expect them trying to get him looks early to get him in the game, get him motivated, get him energized and get that offense going, you know, because when DK is playing well, that offense is hard to stop, you know.
Yep.
When obviously you got Lockett as well, but when DK is taking the top off of defenses, making those strong catches, making those big plays, making guys miss, it definitely, it fused fire into that team. So I have to do, you know, my best to make sure that I slow him down and make sure that, you know, they can't feed off his energy. I know I have a tall task ahead of me that I'm definitely prepared for. I'm sure it's going to be another fun matchup, that he's looking forward to, you know, and I know I'm going to get his best shot. We know Russ is very, very magical when he's, playing at home. So we definitely gonna have to be on our P's and Q's when we go up there up north here in a couple of days.
Yeah, and this is going to be an important game for both teams involved. Important for the entire division in the NFC West with a traffic jam of like teams battling for the top spot. So I can't wait to see that matchup. You know, speaking of an elite wide receiver, big body wide receiver, Calvin Johnson. I don't know if you heard about this, Pat P, but Calvin Johnson was on the recent episode of All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, which is available on Showtime Basketball channel on YouTube. Calvin was asked about who he looked forward to matching up with most during his career. And this was his response.
Who did you look forward to matching up with on your career?
Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Them LSU DBs, man. Them boys be serious, man. You know, it's fun playing him because Pat, you know, he's in your face all the time. He's going to follow you. It's like kind of like the Jerry Rice, Deion, where he's going to go everywhere you go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I appreciate that. You know, you appreciate it. One, that level of respect that you're getting because, okay, you're getting the other team's best defender. He's following you everywhere you go. And at the time, you know, I just know that at the time, like, okay, when I look back on this, this is going to be like some – it's going to be some OG shit. You got two OGs battling right here, you know. Those mm-hmm. kind of battles, man, because he's pushing me and I'm pushing him to bring out the best. And you're able to see some great plays, you know, from both of us when we got to play each other.
So, Pat, you know, hearing that, man, what's your response to hearing Calvin Megatron? I mean, when your nickname is Megatron, you're a bad man,
different.
Right? But let me hear your response in hearing Megatron show you some love and also to, you know, just the appreciation that he had for your matchups that you guys had throughout his career.
Man, that was by far the greatest matchup that I've had in my NFL career. You know, I obviously got a long list of, competitors that I went against, AJ Green, Julio, Antonio, Mike Evans. I mean, the list goes on and on. But when you knew you was going up against Detroit, he's not a receiver. He's Megatron. You know, this guy's a robot. He's been 6'6", 6'7", run like a gazelle, very, very strong, can catch the ball wherever. I mean, wherever Matthew Stafford put the ball, 9 times out of 10, he was coming down with it.
Yep.
But a quick story about my first time ever going up against Calvin. So Ray Horton, your guy.
Yep.
We know you Wednesday, you come in and you have a game plan, this, that, another. Obviously that was like, I think it was like week 12. So at this time, it was in my second year, obviously I know who I'm going to get because I have that responsibility each and every week. So Ray Horton, and this was the game before, I think Calvin caught the ball and he went crazy, had like 300 some yards on Dallas and caught the ball over like three people.
Yeah, I remember
crazy.
That.
It's like, man, we got Calvin Johnson. I know this is your first time going up against some Pete. You got him. But I want to put one coverage in. It was called like Vice or something like that. I said, Coach, I ain't a part of no Vice, man. I said, Coach, man. I said, all due to Calvin, great receiver, but he ain't played nobody like me yet. Like he have not played anyone like me yet that's not going to bow down to him. Like,
yeah.
I know I'm a second year player, but I want this matchup. This is why I play the game. I've been doing this all my life since I was in high school. Why the heck we got to change right now? I like, man, if he's giving me trouble in the game, I would tell you if we need to do that vice coverage.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, we just going to have it in, we're going to have it in practice. They're doing it all. I said, Coach, if you call that play, I am not a part of the vice.
So what was vice? It was like a double?
So yeah, it was a safety in a corner. It was going to be me and the strong safety covering him. Like literally like, as a punt return.
Oh, like a punt return.
Yeah. Oh man, we ain't doing that. So the first third down. coach called it. I forget what the heck it was called. It was like Vice 81.
Yeah.
I said, Greg Toler was the corner. I said, G, go get that, man. I said, I ain't a part of that. I said, I ain't been a part of no Vice, man. I said, no, I don't need no Vice. I came to the sideline, I was pissed because they end up dropping the ball. I'm pissed. I said, coach, I told you I don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Just let me play ball. If he beat me, he beat me. And if it comes down to the wire to where they need a score or whatever, then you can put the Vice on. But I said, let me play ball. Let me see what I got. Let me feel him. Let me get my feet wet. Because the first play of that game, they tried to fade. I should have picked that ball off with one hand. They threw a fade on me, and I got a cold pitcher. And it literally hit the palm of my hand because I cupped it perfect. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't able to squeeze the tip, and it just bounced back out off my hand. But that game, I ended up getting an interception against Calvin. And on top of that, Mac, I got target 21 times that game.
What?
21 times. I think I got it right here. Let me see.
21 times? But I know you was sucking wind on the sideline.
Yeah, 2012. So, yeah, he had 10 catches. Yeah, he got target 21 times.
Kid, wow.
21 times. So he was 21 for 10 with 121 yards. I mean, hell, he better have 100 yards getting 21. But it was a fun game, man. That was my, one of my greatest games that I felt that I played because I got such a high volume of targets and I had to stay home then for 60 minutes. It wasn't like the ball's going to come to you here. You might have 5 plays off. It was literally every drive. The ball was going to Calvin Johnson, but
no question.
That's it. That's why I play the game. And that's why, you know, you get recognized off doing, or you get recognized for what you do off some of the players that you went up against and also the plays you made against them as well.
Yeah. And real recognized is real. We say that all the time, but, that's a legit fact. You know, at the end of the day, you guys were going at each other. He was trying to score touchdowns on you. You were trying to, pick him off. Yep. But in the day, it's a mutual respect. You know, when you got good on good, that's all you can ask for, just a mutual respect from both parties involved. But that was definitely dope in seeing them show you some love and also hearing about that first matchup in 2012, a young Pat P going against Megatron. But again, listeners and viewers, you can find All the Smoke on Showtime Basketball's YouTube channel and anywhere podcasts are found. Now it's time to check in around the league. This is where we tap into the news throughout the National Football League. There was a lot of big time stories. It was another entertaining weekend slate of ball games, but big injuries to big name players. Specifically speaking, talking about the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. Pat, I know you heard about the injury woes with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. A few broken ribs. I think he has a bruised lung. Sure. I know he's in pain right now. I don't know if you ever had any. You ever hurt your ribs before?
Nah.
I tore my oblique. Mm-hmm. I think it was in 2010 or 2011. Man, that was a painful injury. So I can imagine the pain that he's going through right now. But you know, me personally, I don't know if you got the opportunity to see the play, Pat, but it was a routine play for me as a defender. A lot of people were saying it was a dirty hit. It was unnecessary. And we know how they want to protect quarterbacks right now. And if you haven't seen the play, listeners and viewers, please go check the play out. It was a flag that was thrown by the refs. And it was like when the referee saw Drew Brees on the ground hurt or a bit disgruntled, then they decided to throw the flag. It was like a sympathy flag, something I don't like, I don't agree with. But hearing the news with Drew Brees and the quarterback woes, they're in the NFC, and many people believe with a healthy Drew Brees, they could be the favorites to win the NFC and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl in Tampa. They're a big-time competitor to you guys, but hearing the news about Drew Brees and how I guess you guys could match up with New Orleans, who knows what could happen in a tournament if you get into the tournament. There's a lot of football left to be played. I mean, what are your thoughts about hearing anytime a team losing their top quarterback and how you have to fight through that adversity to remain relevant and competitive to try to get into the tournament?
Well, you know, that sucks because that happened to us a couple of times.
Yeah, a few years ago when you guys had quarterback woes, I remember.
Yeah, 2014, my first year going to the playoffs, playing Carolina. Carson, I believe, towards ACL, like week 10 against the Rams or something like that. We was on fire, too. We was like 7-1 or 7-2. Something like that, end up limping into the playoffs, wasn't able to get it done because, you know, not having, you know, your five-star gunslinger under the gun it can kind of hamper your offense and kind of hamper what you want to do as an offense as far as moving the ball downfield, because you got to think about it. Your backup quarterback may not have the same attributes as your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And I believe, but the Saints are in a very, very unique situation because you have Jameis Winston that can spin the ball. You know, he was, let's not forget, you know, Jameson was,
overall.
Yeah. He was the first overall pick, but the numbers that he was able to put up as far as statistically throughout the air, what I believe like 40 something odd touchdowns. Obviously the interception has to come down, but he can get the ball in the end zone and get the ball in the right hands. And I believe Sean Payton is going to do a great job on making sure that Jameson is ready, because, you know, he did the same thing with, he had to do the same thing 2 years ago with, Teddy. And yep. Those guys were still a competitive football team and a team that was out there fighting, for wins each and every week. So I don't expect those guys not to be in position or where they need to be to continue to be successful. Sean Payton is one of the best offensive gurus in this league, and I'm sure that he's going to have some nuances to his offense to make sure that those guys are still loyal.
Outside of the New Orleans Saints, individually speaking, Pat, there's a young corner that's playing some real good football with the New England Patriots, J.C. Jackson. J.C. Jackson is balling, currently has a total of 6 interceptions throughout the season. He's had 5 straight ball games with a pick. He had a pick this past Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if you got a chance to really pay attention to any of his game, but he's a ball hawking guy. He always seems to be in position to come down with big time interceptions. When you look at some of the corner play throughout the National Football League, you know, what corners are really sticking out to you when it comes to playing real good football?
You got Xavier Howard that's playing some real good football right now.
Yeah, he's been balling also. Yeah.
You got Jalen when he's out there. Jalen's always solid. Joe Hayden's having a good year as well in year 11. Most guys don't talk about us old guys, but Joe Hayden is playing at a high level right now. And I did have opportunity to see JC, I believe, who did they play before? They won that game with that.
They played the Jets before ball game against the Ravens.
I saw him playing that game. I believe that was a Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken. I saw him playing that game. He played well, you know, gave up a couple of big plays in that game. But like you said, with a DB's mentality, you have to have that short-term memory and knowing that, all right, you gave up a play. Now you have to go make a play. Now you have to dig down even deeper to make sure that you're in position to make that play when the ball presents itself to you again. And he's been making the best of his opportunities right now, which is say you got 6 picks, 5 straight games with the interception. So, I mean, he's on fire. I mean,
they come in bunches.
No doubt about it. It's following him right now. So, he just got to continue riding that wave and make sure that iron stay hot, baby.
Yeah, no question. No question. So, shout out to JC Jackson. Definitely he's covering all things when he's on the football field. Now, listeners, viewers, before we get into halftime, and make sure you guys stay tuned, we got a special guest joining us a little later in the show, Jamal Adams, outstanding safety for the Seattle Seahawks, will be joining us here, all things covered. But before we get to halftime, there's some other stuff that we would like to tap into with Pat P. The Bama LSU rivalry didn't get a chance to take place this past Saturday because of COVID issues, but hopefully they're able to get that ball game going at some point in time. But when you look at what's going on throughout college football, Pat, you once were an elite prospect, right? A guy that had a high draft grade, and you're starting to see a lot of kids opt out, you know, start the season and opt out midway through the season. And you saw a lot of kids also didn't just participate at all. If you were in college right now and knowing the situations with the coronavirus and the concerns with your draft grade, not necessarily being solidified, but pretty much being in a better position than a lot of other kids, would you, with your mindset collegiately, would you play or would you opt out in totality, or would you play a little bit, get your draft stock higher, gain some leverage, and then opt out?
You know, Matt, that's a very, very touchy question.
Let's say going into your junior year, right? Going into your junior year.
And I got my grade because, honestly, I didn't get my grade until, like, I mean, I know times are different now, but I didn't get my grade literally until, like, almost October-ish. Like, you know, now kids are, especially if you're a senior, you kind of know what your grade is going into your senior year. Juniors, I think now they kind of put the juniors in that same class now. If I knew what I knew, now I definitely probably would have opted out, you know.
Yeah. So you probably wouldn't have played at all.
No, I probably wouldn't have played. I probably would have done everything that I needed to do as far as training, getting ready for the combine, putting my all into the combine, because it was just, it's so much uncertainty going into the season. You know, yeah. Obviously most teams are starting late. You don't really know how many games you're going to play. So with me having a stock that I know I have, I really don't want to go through that process. I know exactly what, you know, what I'm here for. You know, my time has come. You know what I mean? So I have to make sure that I'm putting myself in the best position possible to not hinder, you know, my opportunities of making a career that can change my life. So
yeah,
there's definitely a lot of thought that goes into that decision. But I honestly think the guys who dropped out, who end up opting out, not playing the season, I truly believe that they gave it some thought, and, you know, talked to their families, talked to whoever they're close with in their circles, to give them proper advice. And at the end of the day, you can't fault no one for making the decision that they feel that's best for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but to answer your question, I probably would declare to not play the season as well.
Yeah. And now talking about LSU, Ja'Marr Chase, you know, one of the best wide receivers in college football, you know, decided to opt out. So I think when you have your draft grade pretty much solidified based on, you know, your first 2 years of work in college football, you understand what's at stake and what could happen. So, I understand where you're coming from. You're a first rounder. It doesn't really make sense. And if you need to add more fuel to your resume, and then go out and put it and get it done. So right now, all things covered, Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. It's time to go to halftime. We just finished a 2 minute warning. Are we going into halftime with this nice lead? But on the other side of halftime, we'll be joined by our special guest, Ja'Marr Adams of the Seattle Seahawks. We'll be joining us here. All things covered. Stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, listeners, viewers? We're back from halftime. We got a chance to get some water, hydrate, eat some oranges, get right back to the gridiron. And like we promised you guys earlier in the show, we got a special guest joining us here, all things covered, Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. This is a guy that's extremely talented. You know what I mean? Anytime we can get a fellow DB on the show, man, it's only right. You know what I mean? I tell people all the time, DBs are the most important players on the football field. Sixth overall selected player in 2017's NFL draft. Two-time Pro Bowler, 2019 First Team All-Pro, @Prez on Twitter, Instagram name, @Presidential, Mall, part of 17 Weeks Podcast, part of the 17 Weeks Podcast Show, outstanding show, by the way, former New York Jet, current Seattle Seahawks, and he will be performing in this upcoming Thursday night matchup against the Arizona Cardinals, no other than Jamal Adams. Man, thank you for joining us here, All Things Covered. Before we jump right into the nitty-gritty, Jamal, how you feeling? How's your health going? We know you missed some time a few weeks ago, but where are you now located when it comes to the health standpoint?
Yeah, man, you know, I'm feeling good. You know, but obviously, you know, came down with a little, you know, nagging injury in the shoulder, last game. But it's part of it, man. It's part of the grind. It's part of the process. You know, it's never going to be perfect. Sometimes, you know, each year you got to fight through something, right? And then if you not fight through anything, something's wrong. You know what I mean? So that's something that, you know, I kind of learned and figured out. You know, obviously everybody wants to stay healthy, but you know, this 2020 season has been ugly for the league, and obviously there can be a lot of opinions on why, but you know, you just got to figure it out. You got to keep fighting, man. So I'm looking forward to Thursday, man, going against Pat and the guys.
Oh yeah, it definitely should be a fun matchup. But with me watching you for so many years at LSU with the Jets, and now being a rivalry opponent, where does that confidence and that swagger come from? Because you always had it. Like where it come from?
Honestly, man, I think it starts at home. You know what I mean? The way I was raised, you know, I was always raised to voice my opinion if you have an opinion. I was always raised to be confident, be the best at everything you do. Mm-hmm. I've always had that drive, man. I always tell people, you know, when I was younger, man, I played video games like no one else, right? And now I don't even play video games at all. So I used to cry if I lost in, you know, in any form of game, you know what I mean? So I was just so competitive. At a young age, I hated to lose. Mm-hmm. So competitive. I, you know, always had that drive and, you know, that confidence. So, you know, for me, man, I think it starts with your mindset, just with, you know, life. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Whatever you do in life, I think that if you don't have a purpose or know your purpose, you'll never be successful. Like, you can always tap into the grind. You can always say, I'm going to grind it out. But you got to know why you're doing it. You got to know why you're going to put in all this work and do all the little things. So, I think for me, man, that it started at home for me, and I'm very fortunate enough to have two outstanding parents that still together. You know, that's a blessing. Being around guys like, you know, you, Pat, seeing you back at LSU and so many guys that came through, or so many guys that I looked up to, or seeing how they played the game, what type of swagger they played with, how they played the game. For me, man, it was just adding and kind of creating that like almost created player, should you say, right? And just having that mindset. Having that confidence, because as a DB, man, you got to have confidence. If you don't have confidence, you're in trouble.
You're right.
You know what I mean? You're definitely in trouble. So you can't, you know, obviously, you know, you take your chances. You know when to take your chances based off situations or based off what's going on in the game. But at the end of the day, man, if you don't, you know, roll the dice, scare money don't make money, man. And that's how I look.
No question. And talking about the confidence and the swagger, we got an opportunity to see that swagger down in Baton Rouge, LSU. You were a 5-star recruit coming out of Carrollton, Texas. But what were the factors that led to you deciding to sign with LSU?
Wow, man. You know, the crazy part about it, man, I was going to Florida. You know,
really?
Phillips, yeah, I was going to Florida. Joker Phillips was he's my godfather.
Wow.
At the time, he was the receivers coach at Florida, right? Mm-hmm. And this is when Muschamp was there, T-Rob, Coach T-Rob was the DB coach. Now they're in South Carolina coaching together. Mm-hmm. And was a big fan. I was a big fan of the way they ran the program, right? And for me, growing up, I always knew, okay, DB, as a defensive player, all the DBs go to LSU, Florida, or Alabama. Or at the time, it was Texas too as well. But I knew Texas was kind of like – on the downgrade, you know, as far as Mac Brown, we didn't know, you know what I mean? So all of that was going on at the time, and I never really understood or knew where I wanted to go, but I had a feeling. LSU came on me last minute, you know what I mean? I remember Coach Ensminger, you know, he came, and you know how he talks, man. You know, he came to one of my scrimmages, I want to say like my senior year, and he sat in the stands, but he didn't come speak to me after the scrimmage. So usually, you know, I'm looking for that, right? And, you know, as a kid, you're looking for the scout to come up to you. You got a lot of the scouts that's usually down there on the field, but he didn't come up to me. He just called me and was like, oh, I remember everything you did. And it was just like, it's a little weird. So what happened was, come to find out, there was a friend of mine that did go to LSU before me that went to my high school, and it didn't work out with them. So my head coach in high school didn't really feel the love from LSU, so he kind of like shied away, kind of almost pushed us away from LSU, right? But it just so happened, man, you know, I knew Florida was too far at the time. I knew I wanted to be closer to moms. I wanted to be closer to moms and pops and my family. At the time, my nieces was growing up, and, you know, obviously don't have kids. So that was like my kid, right? She didn't have that father figure. So I felt like it was my role at the time. I felt like I needed to be there. I needed to be that guy, that guidance that she needed, right? And so seeing her grow up, ended up making the decision to go to LSU, man. I don't regret anything. I'm so glad it happened to me because, man, it taught me not only how to be a better football player, but how to be a better man. And and Tommy Moffitt to Jack Marucci to all the guys from the academics, everybody, man, Walt, everybody taught me something, right? And it made me who I am today. And I'm so thankful to go through that transition, to go through that dream of playing at LSU, being in Baton Rouge, and seeing and meeting different people coming from different backgrounds, but just learning something from everybody. I think that's what made it so special for me, man. And obviously, you know, not being too far from home, it was a 6-hour drive, hour flight, not too bad, you know, and that was something that was key to me. I didn't want to go so far because, you know, mom's was, she's from New York, didn't like flying due to 9/11. You know, had family up there. So that was another thing that scared moms. And I wanted to kind of respect that. You know what I mean? She's a lot better now, but at the time she just wasn't feeling it. And you know, moms always get what they want. You know what I mean? But just so happened, man, long story short, just so happened, Muschamp and them got fired. Who would have knew Les Miles would have got fired my second year. You know what I mean? No one would have knew that. It just so happened to happen like that, and went through three different DCs at LSU. And I think, for me, man, that taught me so much about ball, so much about defense. And obviously, I was so fortunate enough to have Corey Raymond all 3 years. And he's the best in business. And taught me so much, man. Taught me not only stuff on the field, but off the field. And then when Pat and Ryan Clark and Corey Webster, the list goes on and on of guys that would come back and feed us knowledge. It was just so inspiring to where I'm like, okay, man. One day I'm going to be in their shoes. One day I got to go back and serve. You know what I mean? And I thought that was big, man. I think that's what it's about. You know, when you can really build that brotherhood and understand that there's so many great guys that come through LSU. There's so many great guys that come through the SEC or whatever, period. The greatness you see. It's not just one guy who's great doing this. It's a couple of the guys that's great at what they do. And that's what makes it so special to me. And I respect that, man. So I don't regret the decision, man. It was something that, you know, shaped me into the man I am today, mentally and physically. But, you know, mainly mentally, and making me just see how life and see how the football world really works. And I'm truly grateful for that opportunity, bro.
Right. Well, talking about, so you already hit on LSU, Coach O took over as a head coach your final season as a Tiger. Could you imagine the heights that he took the team last year coming? Did you see the anticipation, the energy or his vision where he saw the team going?
Well, I definitely knew when Coach O came in as a D-line coach, obviously everybody knew about him history wise and him being in a blind side and, you know, good dude. He's a player's coach, right? And he's a fiery guy. So I knew that it was something that we needed from the transition from Les Miles.
Right.
And I love Coach Les Miles, man. I love him to death because he gave me my opportunity.
Right.
And I'll never say anything bad about him because he blessed me with that opportunity and I'm so grateful for it. And I think that it needed to be a change at the time. We were struggling. Needed to be a change. Obviously, I'll never forget. We started off like 6-0, 7-0 my sophomore year, went to Alabama, lost that one. That was the first year of the playoffs, I want to say. And then went down here, lost three straight, Ole Miss to Arkansas. Yeah. And back then, that's when Ole Miss and Arkansas was some damn good teams at the time, right? So that SEC West was the truth.
Right.
And obviously you had Mississippi State, you had all of them. So, you know, the transition was good. I knew that Coach O was going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, everybody said we didn't have a quarterback at the time, but I truly believed in Brennan Harris. I thought Brennan Harris could really get it done. At the time, we wasn't opening up the offense how they did. You know, we had Fournette left, Fournette right, as great as right. he was. You know what I mean? And right. the defense was stout. You know, we was playing LSU defense. Yep. Simple as that. You know what I mean? You know what we in. It don't matter. Beat us. Like, right. just exactly. what it was, you know? But it was a great transition, man, from going from Coach Miles to Coach O. And then, like I said, three different DCs. I had Chief, I had Coach Steele, and then Aranda. So I learned so much ball. You know what I mean? And it was a good thing and a blessing in disguise to where it helped me now. But man, all that talent that we had last year, you know, with Coach O, Joe Burrow doing his thing, the receiver core, them opening up the offense. Man, it was only a matter of time, bro, before LSU got back on the map. And, you know, we were never off the map. We just couldn't put it all together. You know what right. I mean? And once we did, you know, we came through. We won it. And now we're young. Yep. And every year you go through a transition, you know, everybody knows that. And, you know, obviously the fans might not know it and they want everybody to, you know, they right. want us to win right now. Right. But sometimes, you know, you got to take your blows. You know,
it's a process.
It's a process, bro. You know, it's a marathon. I always talk about it, man. Rest in peace to Nip. You know, it's a marathon, bro. You got to keep running. So it was a blessing, man. I'll tell you that.
No question. And talking about your success there collegially at LSU, it led to being drafted. And what a lot of people don't know about you and your family, you know, your father got drafted 1985. He was the 19th overall selection in the NFL draft. And you guys had a draft day bet, right?
tell
us a little bit about the draft day bet. Yeah. And did your father have
Hell
to pay
no,
up?
He didn't pay up.
He didn't pay, you, he didn't pay the debt yet?
Hell no, man.
Tell us a little bit about that bet.
Yeah, man. So, you know, growing up, bro, again, was just so competitive in everything I did. Like, literally, you know, in the classroom, I wasn't the smartest, but I wanted to be the smartest, right?
Yeah.
And I hated to fail. I hated anything. I hated when my teacher folded my paper over if I failed or trying to hide my grade. You know, everybody goes through that, right? So I was just so competitive, man. And I remember I want to say about 8 years old, man, I told Pops, I'm like, man, I'm going to be better than you. Right. And he's like, you're not better than me until you get drafted higher than me. And that was fair. At the time, I didn't understand it. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was a special moment because it drove me to a different level, man. I was doing certain things, man, in high school that most 15-year-old, 14-year-olds, 16-year-old kids aren't doing.
Right.
Like I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning, man, working out with my DB coach before the workout with the team. Right. I was doing these things because I was so driven. I missed prom. I missed homecoming. I missed all these things because I was so driven to make my dream come true. Right. And I always had that goal. And once I put a goal out, I'm going to go get it. It's just only a matter of time. Right. And that's just starting with your mindset. Mm-hmm. And I've always had that, man. So I always told Pops I would be better than him, man. And I'm so grateful to obviously have the opportunity to leave school early. And that was something that's always been at LSU, you know, come in 3 years, the special ones leave 3 years early. I mean, a year early, right?
Yeah.
And that was always the motto, the great ones, right? So it was good, man. I'm so fortunate enough to go to the Jets, to have that opportunity. I don't take it for granted. And, you know, obviously things went down the way it went down, but man, it was a blessing in disguise and it taught me so much. And not only did LSU make me into the man I am today, that situation made me even into a better man. You know what I mean? Because I went through so much adversity and it taught me a lot about myself and then what I can do on the field as well. And just my teammates and being that leader and working with different guys from different backgrounds. So it's pretty cool, man.
Speaking of the Jets, Jamal, at what point in your career there in New York did you realize it was time for you to, you know, get a change of scenery? At what point? And what was that defining point for you?
Well, as bad as I wanted to stick it out, man. I really wanted to stick it out and actually become a Jet for life. I really, mm-hmm. I said that and I meant that because I felt I could do it by myself. But when I look back on it, man, I couldn't. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I couldn't do what I wanted to do by myself. And, you know, obviously I came in, man, as a rookie. I knew that, let's be honest, the Jets were the laughing stock. We didn't have respect around the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people didn't respect us in the media, whatever. I remember walking into that, to that locker room, and guys was getting cut left and right, top guys. I remember Eric Decker getting cut right off the rip, like first day. And I'm walking in like, whoa, what's going on? I'm a rookie, right? Right? Yeah. And I'm walking into all of this, and no shade on Eric Decker, you know, much respect to bro. But just walking into that and guys getting cut left and right and kind of seeing how this was really working. I never had a vet, you know, that showed me the way. I never had a Pat P that showed me the way, right? It was me and Marcus May, and we were learning off the rope. We were thrown mm-hmm. into the fire, bro. Todd Bowles threw us right into the fire. Denard Wilson, who's still there, DB coach, one of my favorite coaches of all time, taught me so much about the game. And, you know, we were thrown in the fire, and we had to grow up quick, mm-hmm. right? In my rookie year, bro, I was just running around. I was making some plays here and there, but I was just running around, just eyes bad, just – you know, you're out there. You know what I mean? You
ball think
you,
ball.
Yeah, you're playing rap ball. You think you know ball, but you don't know ball.
Right.
So I knew it was time for me to kind of move on when my last game in Buffalo, mind you, I had a high ankle sprain 2 games prior to the last game, and I missed the 2 games, right? So I wanted to come back because I wanted to finish. I didn't know what my future, like, I didn't know what it was going to hold, but I knew that something possibly could happen. Either they're going to, I'm going to force them to pay me, or they're going to let me walk. Right. And for me, I never asked them to be paid. I simply told them, hey man, if you guys want me here to be a Jet for life, you're telling the media, you're telling the fans, let's sit down and talk, right? This is after the fact they told me, hey man, you know, we want to offer you, this is during the Pro Bowl. We want to offer you the last Pro Bowl. We want to offer you a extension, and we'll talk. So they kept kind of feeding me, okay, we'll talk this time. And then boom, that didn't work. They pushed it back, and then they kept pushing it back. So then it was like, okay, they're playing this kind of game. So then when they kept doing that and kept jabbing at me, I was like, you know what? I want to be paid. Like, I'm not going to go up there and continue to suffer, you know, going through losses, countless losses every year, unless, you know, I get paid, because I want to win. You know what I mean? That's what it was about. For me, it was like, okay, if I'm going to be the franchise player, which they didn't like that, you know what I mean? As a safety.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be a franchise player.
No. That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's not supposed to happen.
It was almost like, whoa, okay, this kid actually, he might be a franchise guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they were more so shocked that, whoa, it's not a quarterback. It's not, something's wrong. So right. I felt I was being so disrespected by them, and they bashed my name and said I was a bad teammate. I was this and that. And it was just like, bro, I did everything to support the Jets on and off the field. Even when people were talking down on us, I was like, no, man, we're going to be all right. Like, I was bringing the juice back into the Jets. Like, right. No one was – my rookie year, no one on TV was talking about the Jets.
Nope.
No one. Nope. Absolutely no one. If you literally go back, absolutely no one. My second year, juices started to fly. Okay, starting to get a little swagger. And then that third year, it really started to ramp up. Got Le'Veon over there, CJ Mosley. And man, it was forming, should I say.
Mm-hmm.
But things broke down, man, from top to bottom, bro. Like, it's just not, it's more than what people think. Like, it wasn't about, oh, Jamal's being selfish. No, Jamal's not being selfish. Jamal's, because at the end of the day, this is all business.
Yep.
Jamal was looking out for himself and his family, right? Mm. Just like anybody else that has a job, they look out for their family.
And they brought the contract extension to you.
Right. They brought it to me.
That's what this is something people don't know, right? You're filling us in.
And that was something, bro, at the time. It was like, bro, I'm not even going to fight fans or fight people of what they're saying about me, because at the end of the day, I knew the truth.
Yeah.
Because I had everything on recording. I knew everything. Every time my GM was on the phone with my agent, I was on the phone.
Yeah.
I just didn't say nothing. I was muted. I heard everything he said. Everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, bro, it got to the point to where, like, let me go back. That Buffalo game, the last game, man, we finished 7-9, right? And we came into the locker room and everybody was happy, clapping it up. And it was just like, what do I really want? Can I stand this again? Because, bro, I fought depression in New York, bro. And I'm manning up.
Really?
I fought depression, bro.
Wow.
Oh, but there's been so many times to where I've came home after a loss, a tough loss, and just sat in my room, bro, in the dark. No phone, no TV. And Pops will walk in and be like, hey, man, you all right? I just be like, all right, I'm good. He hated to see me like that. It killed my Pop so much, come to find out. He was calling my agent at the time and saying, hey, man, I don't like seeing my son like this. I need him out of this situation. So it got so bad to where it took a toll on my life outside of football, to where I had to make a move. I had to get out there because I knew what I wanted, and I wanted to win. Mm-hmm. It's simple with me, bro. Money's a plus, like, but I love the game of football. This is a kid's game, but we make king money. The money's a plus. I love what I do, right? Yeah. And I've always been driven like that. So for me, bro, like, it was just little stuff like that it was like, man, they do not want to win.
Right.
And I was sick of hearing the rebuild, the rebuild, the rebuild year. I was sick of hearing that because I was like, man, why not now? What are we waiting on? Like, I get certain pieces, you got to pay. I get it. But what are we waiting on? So I felt like, okay, if you guys feel I'm the face of the franchise, if you feel you want to make me a Jet for life, pay me and let's start this thing right. Because you didn't pay anybody else.
They had money available.
Yeah. So therefore, I was like, okay, something's not right. So come to find out, Joe Douglas told me, you know, after the trade went through, that they weren't going to pay me until 2022. So that was just God getting me out of a situation like that. And again, bro, it wasn't about the money with me. It was just about the respect. And I felt like I wasn't getting the respect that I deserved. Right. And I did so much for the Jets on and off the field, two-time MVP of the team back to back. Like, the Curtis Martin Award, the only person that did it three times was Curtis Martin. The only one who did it back to back was Curtis Martin. And it was just like, dang, do you really value me?
Right.
Am I just a safety to you guys? Because to me, I don't consider myself a safety. I consider myself a playmaker.
Right.
You know what I mean? I make plays. I wreck games. That's what I consider myself. So I don't limit to myself to one job or one dimension. You know what I mean? So I've always had, you know, that confidence to where I can do anything. I can do everything you ask me to. And if I miss it, or if I have bad eyes on one play, get beat, it still don't matter, because at the end of the day, I know what I can do and I know what I bring to the table. So anything that's said outside, anything that's said in the media, like, now it's like, okay, bro, whatever, wipe that off, because I've dealt with the New York media.
Right.
I'm not worried about the naysayers, because at the end of the day, they don't understand what we really go through on the field and the sacrifice and how hard it is to, you know, take the right angles, make that tackle, or have your eyes in the right placement when you get a fly motion, or here comes, it's different things, right? So, yeah, man, it's a blessing, bro. I think it's taught me so much, you know, about the business, being traded. And, you know, at the end of the day, bro, you have to take care of yourself, because this is all business at the end of the day. You guys know that. You know what I mean? And you just want the right fit. You want the right organization that appreciates you. And that's all I was looking for, bro. And Seattle blessed me with that. Man, they blessed me to let me be myself. Let me come over here and not be judged, not have to walk on eggshells when I'm in the building. Like, not having to hide from my GM or owner or my own. They're not talking to me like, it, like, you know, when McCagnan was there, bro, I'll never forget, man. He used to, he used to walk past, you know, a lot of the guys in the hallway, and it
wouldn't speak.
He didn't speak. It bothered me. It bothered me so much because I was raised that when you walk into someone's house,
yeah,
walk into a room, yeah, you speak to everybody.
You speak. Yeah,
you speak,
right, exactly.
You speak to the damn dog if you have right. to. Right. I was raised like that. So for me, it was like, man, we're in this to win it, and we're not pulling on the same rope.
Right.
We're talking about accountability. We're talking about, oh, we have to be better doing the little things, but we're not doing the little things in the building as a group, as a collective right. group. And it starts from top to bottom.
No question.
You know what I mean? And it was just, it was so much negative, bro, that it fed and it went to other guys that didn't have strong mentals to where they couldn't fight it. And then it came on to me, and I had all this pressure on me, and I was like, man, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
I knew I couldn't do it when moms called me and said, son, I don't want you there anymore.
Mm.
I knew it was my time to go.
Because your parents, they were seeing what you were going through.
Oh, they seen it, bro. Yeah, they seen it. They seen the ins and outs. And that's why I literally had to do what I had to do to get out of the situation. I didn't want to go about it like that.
Yeah.
But that was the only way out.
Right.
They didn't even want to let me go. Joe Douglas called before the trade and said, are you sure he wants to go through this? Are you sure he wants to go through with this? After I done told a little bit of a lot, you know, of what's going on.
Right.
And they didn't even want to let me go. And bro, it was more my mentals, bro. I was like, listen, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't fight it.
Yeah.
I love New York. I love the fans, bro, but I couldn't fight it. It was so negative and mm-hmm. I couldn't do it anymore. It was taking a toll on my life. It was taking a toll on my family. You know what I mean? And the relationships that I had, it was killing me. But man, I have so much respect for the people that I did work with that we had a connection over there. I knew everybody in the building. That's just like at LSU. I knew everybody in the building because I think that's important
right.
to know everybody in the building. Because when you do that, that's where respect comes. And that's where you learn the ins and outs of the organization
right.
or whatever, the business or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? So it was tough, man. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, I went through a lot of depression, man, fighting it. And just trying to go out there and make plays. And I was so hurt to see everybody flip on me. That was one thing that I was like, man, this is how they really felt about me?
Yeah.
A bad teammate?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro. Not me. Not me. I'm all about winning, bro.
Especially when you know you're doing everything for your guys.
Come on, man. Come on, bro.
And you calling me a bad teammate? Come on.
Yeah, that took a toll on me, bro.
But that also tell you, Jamal, how together the group wasn't. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, we know it's a business. And clearly, when you see things are not done the right way, you should understand as a player, as a teammate, what – each individual is going through and that's something that fans don't understand about good organizations and bad organizations.
Absolutely.
And it's something as simple as seeing the GM or the owner walk into the facility and don't speak to the players that are going about their business every day. Just because you might not be a starter, you might not be a role player, but you have a role and it's important.
Yes.
Make me feel like I'm family. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
That's the ins and outs that people don't realize. And the best way I can simplify this to our listeners and our viewers, whatever your 9-to-5 is, just imagine your boss don't speak to you.
Yeah, like how you gonna walk in?
You walk into the building to give it your all, to make sure you're providing what you need to provide for the company, and the guy that's signing your check or hired you walk right past you, but speak to the next person because he has a higher role than you. Imagine how that make you feel.
Correct. And bro, he meant well. He really meant well, but he just didn't have the communication skills,
mm-hmm.
right? And not everybody has those skills, but you have to learn them if you don't have them. If you're in this business or a top level business,
you better
have to learn that.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel comfortable, you know, to be successful, you got to be uncomfortable at times, right?
Yeah.
And so it needed to be done. And that was something that I'll never forget, bro. It was, you know, the last meetings, you know, you have your
exit meetings,
right? Yep. And I went to him and he asked, he was like, is there things that I can do personally to help out and change? And I said, man, the number one thing is you got to speak to people. Mm. When you walk into the hallway, there's no way they don't feel your energy, your positive energy, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You can't walk past a player, bro.
Nah.
You can't do it.
Man, you can't walk past the people who works in the cafeteria.
Come on, man.
You can't, the people who are getting tape, the ball boys. To treat everybody like they're important. Because you don't know exactly how that can impact them to go about their business. That's one thing we had in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, man.
Art Rooney, Dan Rooney, either one, they would speak to you at any given time. You can be a practice squad player. Yeah. You can be somebody who did just sign in for 2 weeks or whatever the case may be. And that's why we always won because we felt like family.
Right. That's how it is over here, man. Like it was literally walked in and I felt loved. I felt at home. Mm. I'm like, wow, this is what I envisioned.
Right.
Because I wanted to shift the culture in New York. I wanted to do everything possible to bring a championship or just get back to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what I was fighting for. And I felt like, okay, I'm going to really change this around, bro, as a defensive player, as a safety. And I had the vision, but my vision wasn't big enough. There's this over here, man. Not even close to what I envisioned. Yeah. Not even close. And it's just a culture. When you have that culture, when you have that family, when you know that you can count on your guy next to you, he'll speak to you when you're in the hallway. Mm-hmm. There's no hating. No one's hating on no one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we're in it to win it, right? GM comes down. He talks to you all the time. He's joking with you. Pete talking to you, joking with you. Cafeteria guys feel important as they should. Right. Mm-hmm. Because they're putting fuel in our body. That's important.
Right.
The equipment guys trying to be the best equipment guys in the league.
Right.
Putting us in the best uniforms, making sure everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Like that's important, bro. The littlest things that mattered to me. And when I came from New York and then coming over here, it was a total shock.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, this is how the NFL is supposed to be. This is how they're supposed to take care of you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
This is the dream that I was dreaming. Makes sense now. It makes sense. Yeah, well, man.
Speaking of your current team, then how excited it is to team up with, you know, a future Hall of Famer and Russell Wilson in that dynamic offense, being a defensive player watching from the sideline.
Amazing. A guy that comes in with the same attitude every day. Mm. He don't miss a heartbeat, bro. And one thing I love about Russ is that no matter what, he stays in it. He stays in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worried about, you know, what's going on outside of the moment.
Right.
He's locked in. And that's a special, unique skill that many people don't see, right?
Right.
And man, just having him as a teammate, man, I'm always picking his brain and, you know, always trying to, you know, motivate him as well as he's motivating me. Just competing against him because you're going to get the same Russ day in, day out.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Right. And obviously people are down in him right now. He's been turning the ball over, but he's so focused on the moment. He's enjoying the process.
Yep.
He's loving the process. He's embracing the process. And that's what you got to do. As a football player, period, man. Like, you know, man, y'all know, man. You have your games, you have bad plays, and some things. Sometimes the ball just doesn't go your way, right? Especially as a DB, right? You know
no
what I mean?
Question.
Like, it just doesn't go your way like you thought, right?
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? The fans don't realize that, Jamal.
They don't realize that.
They think it's supposed to go your way all the time, right? Me and Pat were talking about that earlier.
Come on, bro. Look. They get mad at Pat if Pat give up a touchdown or a pass, Bro, everybody's pros too.
Exactly.
You're a lockdown corner. Like there's no, you know what I mean? Or yeah. I give up a play. Oh, he can't cover. Like, come on, bro. Like, it's like, I made an error, right? I need to fix myself. And sometimes that receiver or that tight end or whatever the case may be, they just made a hell of a play.
Yeah.
They're in the league too.
Yep.
Right. So it's wins and losses, man, with this thing, man. And the older I get, obviously, you know, and God forbid, hopefully I get to where Pat and you was, man, as far as years, but man, just learning that control what you can control.
That's mm-hmm. it.
Control what you can control and never focus on the outside, because the outside doesn't understand what we're going through.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more to it, bro, than just going out there, throwing your helmet on and just running around, making hits, making picks and, right. you know, scoring touchdowns. It's more than that. It's right. film study. It's knowing splits. It's knowing, okay, if they get in this formation, here comes this special route, or here come. So it's little stuff like that that fans don't really understand. And they get caught up in the PFF ratings and the,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, I don't worry about that, man. You know what I mean? I stay focused on the moment. And that's something that I've learned a lot from talking to Uncle Mike, MJ, you know, mm-hmm. having that relationship with him. And always just being that big Kobe fan. I'm a huge Kobe fan. Always, you know, studying him. And obviously Russ reminds me with the same mindset of just stay in the moment.
Yeah.
Stay in the moment, bro. Because the great ones, they do that. The good ones figure out a way to, okay, nah, I'm not going to stay in the moment. I might try to do something else. No. Stick to the fundamentals, bro.
Hey, Jamal, did you just refer to Michael Jordan as Uncle Mike?
Yeah, man, I'm fortunate enough with that one.
hey, yo, everybody don't have that luxury, man. So I tip my hat that I don't have on to
man,
you.
Oh, man, it's big, bro. Just learning so much from him, bro, the ultimate competitor. Man.
No question.
When I say ultimate in anything and everything, bro.
Anything.
It does not matter. And he knows he's going to win.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Tell him he's gonna lose. It don't matter. He'll figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I play a lot of golf with Uncle Mike, as you phrased too.
Okay. Okay.
I got a real tight relationship with MJ as well. And
that's cool, man.
And like you said, man, he is definitely the ultimate competitor, and he want to bet. The thing I love about Mike, though, you know, obviously we know Mike got millions and millions of dollars. My right. first time ever playing golf with Mike.
Yeah.
Was playing with some buddies and the dude was like, you want to bet? He's like, yeah, I bet. He's like, what you feel like losing? The dude was like, $5. He's like, bet it. I take that.
It don't matter, bro. A dollar, $1,000, a million. Listen, he is going to take it, bro. He's all about competing, bro. And that's a special thing, bro. Not everybody can do it, because most people be like, oh man, you're doing too much.
Right, yeah. right.
But that's what drives him, bro.
Exactly.
And that's like what made him great. Yeah.
Shout out to Jordan brand, right?
Shout out to him, bro. it's a special thing, bro, when you can be around somebody that special to where he's done it at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing when you can pick somebody's brain like that, man. So yeah. I'm so fortunate enough to have that contact. And, you know, to obviously call him Uncle Mike, man, I'm so blessed to be a part of the brand.
And he keeps you laced up week in and week out with some exclusives on your feet
all day long. All day long. All day long. It's a blessing, bro, because all the guys be like, man, Mom, what size you wearing? I be like, man, look, I wear my size, man. Y'all not going to get me cut.
Exactly.
Hey, Jamal, what's the tell us the biggest difference in coaches, right? Pete Carroll, Adam Gase.
Positivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Having confidence in yourself, having confidence in the team. No matter what we go through, we're gonna find a way. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And bro, listen, I no shape or form do I hate Adam Gase.
Mm-hmm.
No shape or form. Because I have no hate in my body. I have a pure soul. I don't hate on anybody, man. And no matter what we go through, it's all love my way.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. I just didn't feel he was the right coach for the organization, and I didn't feel he was the right coach for myself. And that's just how I looked at it. And at the end of the day, that's no shade on him, man. Like he coaches in his own way, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody coaches different. And I didn't feel it was for me. I mean, like I said, and Pete is a positive guy, man. He's so competitive. He makes practice competitive. He makes it fun. He always has the music blasting. Like, bro, there was no music at the Jets, man.
Oh, like, man. That's a bad environment, man.
You walk in on game day, If you forget your headphones, you out of luck. There's no music.
Wait a minute. What? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean game day? Y'all don't have any music in the stadium?
Oh, man.
Hey, bro, you walk into that stadium, right? You walk into that locker room. You got your fit on. You fly.
Yeah.
You better make sure you have your ear pods, your Beats, your Bose.
What?
You make sure you have some shape or form of headphones, because he didn't like music in the locker room before the game.
But my thing is this, it's all about the players and making sure the players are comfortable and hyped to go to war, battle.
Hey, look, I didn't win it. I couldn't win that battle. I tried.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this much. In Pittsburgh, I was a team DJ, so I supplied the music, the edited versions for the stadium and pregame. And in the locker room and the weight room, the week of, we rocking. Guimon, our strength coach, man, he's love plies. He's actual plies all the time, Pat.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So,
but that's the energy, bro.
Yes, you gotta have that energy, man.
There's no way at practice, like for what we do, right? As football players, we go out there through injuries, through sore bodies, and just the practice, man. I mean, Pat. He's an OG in the game, bro. Like, I know he wants to hear some music to get him going.
Okay,
like,
no,
he can't, like, Pat can't just go out there anymore and not stretch and just go out there and just start covering. It don't work like that. You don't just get energy like that anymore. Like, I'm getting older in the game, but I'm still young, right?
So you need that extra.
You need a little bit more just to get you going, bro. It's long meetings.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh,
you know
man.
I mean?
The meeting's like, so long.
Bro, you know what I mean? You know how it works. You know, so when you come to practice, you want to make sure you got some juice.
No question. Right before you go out.
Bro, we didn't have – the only time we had music was during stretching. And as soon as stretching was over, it was cut off.
Wow.
And it was dead silent. And you can't get juiced up. You can't compete. You can compete. Obviously, I was going to compete anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm the ultimate competitor. But it wasn't, the atmosphere wasn't right.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to create, bro.
That's crazy. Man, that's crazy. Man, well, hey, you're in a better place right now. It seems to be.
God is good.
No question. No question.
No hate to that organization, man.
It just didn't work out. Like you said.
It just didn't work out, bro. Yeah. It just didn't work out for me. It wasn't for me. I'm forever grateful for the 3 years and them, you know, giving me a chance. McCagnan and Ty Bowles drafting me at 6. You know,
I love Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles is a beast.
Oh my gosh.
My God. That's my DC too, man. That's my
God.
Well, much respect.
I love Todd so much, bro. Like that man, he taught me so much, bro. And God, you don't realize what you got until it's gone.
Yeah,
you
man. Know? Yeah. Cool criminal, man.
God,
he's a cool criminal, dog.
Oh my gosh, bro. On and off the field, man. He's a bad boy, as we call
him. Right here all the time, dog.
He's staying mellow, bro.
All the time.
Staying mellow. Smart guy.
Yep.
Man knows the ins and outs of how to call the defense. Man, I have so much respect. Him and Denard Wilson and obviously Corey Raymond and my high school coach, Coach Hurd, they taught me the game of football, bro.
Yeah.
And, nice. And I'm forever grateful for him.
They did a great job. Before we let you go, clearly we got to jump into – this Thursday night primetime matchup, man. We got two guys. Two guys. Y'all boys friends now. We're going to be enemies in a few days. But, you know, tell us, you didn't get a chance to play the first matchup. You know what I mean? You were injured. So this will be your first matchup against the Cardinals as a Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, what's going through your mind right now getting ready for this much anticipated ball game? Because there is a lot at stake within the division.
Absolutely, bro. Man, you know, one thing I figured out Sunday that, damn, this division is damn good. if you don't show up, you're not gonna come out on top, man.
Right.
Damn, this division is so good, full of talent, you know. And that's what I always wanted it, bro. The ultimate competitor wants that. You want to play against the best week in, week out. You always want to do that. And big game, have a lot of respect for this group coming in. Obviously, Pat. Cliff, K1, D-Hop, Fitzgerald, all of them, man. I have so much respect. Buddha, man, it's gonna go down. I'm gonna tell you that.
It's gonna really go down, bro.
It's gonna be a close game, man. A lot of jabs, haymakers, man. Whoever wins the turnover battle is just it's just gonna win. It's
that's
just
how it happens. Yeah. Good on good.
It's good on good, bro. It's just how it works. So, man, I'm excited for this opportunity, man. But for me, you know, obviously a short week, it's about getting my body right. You know what I mean? And getting my mental right, understanding what's at stake, understanding it's a big game because it's the next game. It's the next opportunity. You can't make it bigger than what it is. Thursday night football, right? But you can't get caught up in the moment. You just got to stay focused on what's important, right? And Pat knows, man, it's all love off the field. You know, when we play each other, we're going at it. We're the ultimate competitor. We're going at it. Obviously, I'm watching him. He's probably going to be watching me. But at the end of the day, we're trying to come up on top. That's just how it is, man. And I wish them nothing but the best. You know, I'm going to be talking my shit, man. That's just who I am. But I'm excited, man, to get out there and compete against them boys, man. So I'm looking forward to the matchup, bro.
Hey, Pat P, y'all, I mean, I know y'all boys, LSU boys and everything, but y'all put anything on the line? A hot, a nice expensive meal or some golf clubs what's up?
We haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, what's up?
Prez just started playing golf. I saw you picking up
clubs, man, I'm working
a year ago, right?
Yeah, I'm working on it, bro. I've been taking a little bit of lessons, man. I got to get my swing down.
Hey, I got to put something on the line, man, for the listeners and viewers, man. What's up? It could be a nice friendly wager. You know what I mean?
We'll do like Skip and Shannon do, man. I'm a Sprite guy, so I put a case of Sprite on it.
Hey! Well, I'm a root beer guy, so that's cool with me, bro.
All right, bet.
That's cool with me.
Bro, one last question for you, Jamal and Pat, gonna take us out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When I was in Pittsburgh, of course, old-fashioned football used to be 907 drills. And then we used to have a drill. It was backs on backers. And then Coach Tomlin started to implement the secondary guys on running backs.
Okay.
And one thing I love about your game, bro, when it comes to blitzing, you don't see no man.
Yeah.
And when it comes to running backs trying to block you, I think the best play – from you, from what I appreciate is when Saquon Barkley tried to block you, and didn't stand a chance. Is there a running back that can block you when it comes to blitzing?
No, but if I give him my chest or I make a wrong, I don't have my plan right, should I say, before I am blitzing, and they know, then they can get me. But to me, I feel like. I've always prided myself, man, and I've always been like this, bro, since high school. And my coach has always told me, bro, from high school all the way up to now, don't get blocked by a receiver. Don't get blocked. I've always prided myself on that, bro. So, you know, I take pride in little things like that, man. I think that's important because that's a mindset.
Yeah, I noticed that when receivers are trying to crack you in the box.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't believe in that, bro. Obviously, I got Larry coming in town, man. It's gonna be the first one, obviously, man. But you know, I'm looking forward to the match. I fear no man. I fear no man. I might be beat up, hurt, but I'll figure it out. How it happened. That's how it happened last game, man. I was trying to figure it out. I had to go into the locker room, first play of the game, and obviously banged up my shoulder. Had to get it right. Came back out and, you know, it didn't start kicking in until about the end of that second half. And then it started to turn on. I had to do whatever I had to do, whatever it took, man. That's what I'm about, man. I never want to leave my teammates out there to dry. If my legs are moving, God forbid, I am on that field, man. Okay. I'm on that field. I'll find a way, goddamn.
Hey, Jamal, you need to stop talking because I think when the Jets fans see this or hear this, they're gonna be pissed off because you.
Well, listen, I can't.
Once was in their uniform. Right now,
bro, I've realized that. No, if you literally go to my Instagram, bro, I can't post a picture without getting some hate. Getting you're a clown for leaving. You're on one of the worst defenses. Listen, I've come to realization that many just don't want to see me win, bro.
No question,
and that's okay.
Pat was talking about the same
thing. Okay,
you know what? What did you say a few weeks ago, Pat? You know, players get criticized when they request a trade or ask for a trade, but the organization ship guys off all the time, and it's no big deal.
People don't want to see me win, bro, and I gave up fighting that battle. I'm happy. I'm happy where I am in life, on and off the field. I know my loved ones back home, my family, my brothers that I grew up with. you know, I know they have my back. I know they support me. They already feel, they tell me all the time, man, you're great, bro, because you inspire us. And that's what greatness is about, bro. Inspiring the ones that look up to you, the ones that were in your circle. Sometimes you can't reach everybody because they're not going to understand who you are as a person. 100%. And I gave up fighting that battle, bro. As soon as I got traded, I gave it up, man. So I don't like, you know, the PFF rating, man. Listen, I don't worry about those things, bro, because I'm all about the team. It's not about me. I got to go out there and make the plays for the team so we can put ourselves in position to win the ball game.
No doubt.
That's it, man. I'm at peace with the rest of it, dog. Like I really am. Like I'm not trying to battle it anymore because I know who I am.
Right.
If I feel I'm the best at what I do, I feel I'm the best at what I do. That's just my confidence.
Right.
It's period. There's nobody going to tell me anything different. You just can't, you know, but how I look at this thing, man, before I let you guys, you know, boogie off is there's greatness everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. There's not just one person who's great. Oh, he's the best corner. Oh, he's the best safety. No, there's multiple guys out there that are great at what they do.
Right.
And let's just respect that.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be a battle about that because at the end of the day, that's just like MJ, LeBron, Kobe. Right. We're never going to figure it out who's the best. Right. Exactly. Everybody's going to have their opinion.
No doubt.
Everybody's going to have their opinion, bro. So it's a battle that you got to be secure with yourself. You know, the last time you guys played us, I said, man, keep going, bro. You balling.
He a beast.
You balling, bro.
No question.
And obviously, you know, him and I, we got two picks in the last whatever. And people, you know, they criticize this. Oh, he only got two picks, blah, blah, blah. Box safety. Now I'm getting called a blitz boy.
Oh, that's what they call you now?
I'm getting called a blitz boy, man. They say I'm just a blitzer now. So at the end of the day, you got to take it for what it is, bro. At the end of the day, I'm going out there to ball. Yep. When my name is called, when my jersey number is called, and it's my play to make, I got to go make that play.
Like you told Pete Carroll when you played against Buffalo, let me go get him.
No, man.
I saw that on the sideline.
Well, get this, though. Get this.
Let me hear.
The media, not the Seahawks media, but everybody else.
Yeah.
New York media. They tried to say I was getting into it with Pete, right?
Huh?
I told Pete after that sack, I said, man, let me loose. Let me eat. I feel like Kobe in the fourth.
Oh, you went Mamba mentality.
Oh, let me eat. But that's just my mindset, bro. Put the ball in my hands. Put it on my shoulders. If I mess it up, I mess it up. I missed it. But I'm going to go down swinging. Best believe that.
Hey, this King talk right here, because earlier on the show, Pat was talking about his first matchup against Calvin Johnson. And Pat, what you said, you told Coach Orton, no, I don't want to do no vice. Let me go.
No vice. Let me play.
Make me a man.
Yeah, exactly.
let me earn my stripes, bro.
Exactly.
Hey, bro, at the end of the day, you might get me once or twice, but best believe I'm going to get you
and I'm coming.
No more than what you think.
Don't think I'm going to lay down. I'm going to come back.
Right. I'm not going to lay down. You can beat me, but I'm not going to lay down, and I'm going to still talk my noise because it's just how I am.
No,
that's
doubt.
King talk.
Bro. I'm a competitor, bro. You're not going to knock me off my game because I gave up a play or right. You're not going to do it.
Can't happen.
It won't happen, and I won't let it happen, bro.
And then you hit on it earlier. That's the difference between the good ones, the really good ones, and the great ones.
No question. So
we have that short-term memory, as you know, doctors call it, amnesia, to where we forget about the stuff that happens because we also, like you alluded to, we know what we're about. We know what we can do to make plays. Now we just have to tap into that go make that play.
That's it. It's all about the little things, bro. You know that. Everything as a DB is about the eyes.
And you know what? It's the same mentality you got to have in life.
That's it.
Same mentality. Bro, if you want to be successful.
It teaches you so much about life. Bro.
No, listen, I talk to little kids all the time and parents as well.
Yeah.
Football was the first structure outside of my house that preached discipline and accountability.
Right.
Everything else followed suit. But when it came to football, because I knew I had 10 other guys dependent on me. If coach told me as a youngster, do not let this ball get outside of you.
Yeah.
If you do, we're all going to fail. Guess what? I can't let the ball get outside of me.
Right.
If coach said practice start at 6:30, and if you're not there on time, you're not going to play. Guess what? Mom, I got to get there before 6:30. Right. I don't want to let the guys down.
Yeah.
Be accountable.
It's that's important though. And most guys in the league that aren't successful at what they're doing are not accountable to themselves.
No right. question.
They'll rather call out other people on the team instead of being accountable to themselves first and looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I messed that up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I should have never did that. I should have never took that false step. I should have never took that chance right there. You know, I got to know the situation. So it's being accountable to yourself first and making sure you got your stuff right before you can talk to anybody else or point fingers, should you say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you gotta be secure with that, man. And as a leader, Pat knows he's a captain, man. You can't talk to everybody the same. Yep. Everybody takes criticism or everybody takes a talk different. You can't scream at somebody. You can't, cause he might take it as, oh, he's coming at me. No.
Yeah.
Certain guys take things different. So that's the beautiful thing of being a leader because most guys, they feel you can mold a leader. I don't believe in that. I think you're born a leader and you just have that special skill to where you can touch and inspire everybody around you to elevate their game. Cause for me, that's what it's about. When I hit that field, I'm telling everybody I'm the best out there when I hit that grass and I'm going to be the best out there, but I want everybody around me to be inspired and I want them to inspire me as well. Because if I'm not having my A game, you got to lift me up.
Mm-hmm.
That's no the question. Beauty of it.
No
that's
question.
The beauty of it, bro. And that's why I love what I do, because you learn, like you said, bro, you learn life lessons. You learn accountability, discipline, doing the little things at all times, having your eye placement at all times, focused on the moment.
No question.
Like, those things are important. So, man, bro, just going through so much in the past 4 years, I'm so grateful for my career thus far. You know, I'm only getting better, with age and I'm so fortunate enough to be around guys like you guys and getting knowledge. So I salute you guys and I appreciate you guys allowing me to come on here and voice, you know, my opinions and my story and whatnot, man. I don't take it for granted. I appreciate you boys, man, for real, for real.
Man, this was all love, Jamal. We appreciate you coming on All Things Is Covered for sure. And we'll definitely, we'll double back. I look
got to man. Anytime, bro. You like I told you, bro. Anytime. I'll figure it out, man. I'll figure out a way, man. Hey, usually I don't talk to the opponents, man. The week, you know, the couple of days before. But I told Pat, man. I said I won't let you down, bro. I got you. I told you I'm gonna be on, and I'm gonna be on. I was a little late, but I was gonna be on.
Man, listen, and you dropped some jewels, and you guys got some was a Sprite.
Right. Right. Yeah, a little Sprite root beer,
and root beer.
Yeah.
Root beer on the line, a whole case.
Yes,
they make them 24 or 12. What the cases go for now? 12 pack or 24 pack?
Probably.
I'm a Costco's guy, so I get a 24.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You
roll up. Hey, look, I try to stay. Hey, look, my chef hearing me over here talking about some soda, man. I know he getting mad at me right now by just hearing me. I stay away from all the soda, man. Man,
I got the thing about me, Jamal. I gotta have a Sprite after practice.
Really?
I have to have a Sprite because it gives me that right amount of sugar.
Okay.
That I need to keep me going throughout the rest of my day.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm pescatarian, bro. I've been pescatarian for
really?
2 years. Yeah.
Man, I tried that crap, man. That ain't work.
Ain't work for you? Yeah, bro. I've been on it, man. Ever since, you know, my chef challenged me, bro. Been 2 years in, bro. Just been.
Do you feel a difference with your body?
Yeah, I do, bro.
You definitely feel cleaner. You feel cleaner,
bro. You don't feel bloated.
Yeah.
More energy.
Yeah.
Man, you feel good, bro. But I think that the importance of it is having the right type of food that you're putting in your body. Like you got to know how much you might have to put a little bit more carb, or you know what I mean, or you got to do certain things like that to make sure you get everything you need to perform. And I think that's important. So I'm very grateful to have my guy over here, you know, every day helping me with that, and staying on me because, man, you know, Pat, man, if you don't have any guidance, man, you'll go through the week and be like, man,
exactly.
Look, man, let me eat this. I'm starving right now. So it's cool, man. I enjoy it, but that's just figuring out your body, figuring out what's good for you. Cause not everything works for, you know, everybody's different. You know what I mean? That's just how it works. Man, again, bro, I appreciate you fellas, dog. For real, man.
Just as
black men, bro, I appreciate y'all, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, you go enjoy that dinner, baby. I'll see you Thursday.
Thursday night.
We wish you the best of luck, baby. Thanks again to Jamal, and thanks to everyone listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe and follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you next Tuesday, where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.